The Remnants, Dead of Night. Written by Jonathan Face. Narrated by Steve Carlson. Chapter 1.1. The sun hovered dead over the world, as brooding and brass and motionless as the pendulum of a stopped clock. The blue Montana sky beneath it went on forever. Noon Tompkins stood speck-like below it, his hands in the air and his pistol on the pavement. Two cops had guns on him. They were both named Sanders. He could tell by their name tags. One was young and the other old. The young cop had pale hair, a red, pinched face, and 3 days of dirty beard. His partner's head was shaved down to iron fuzz, and he watched Noon silently through mirrored sunglasses like some grim stone idol. Both leveled rifles at him from behind the cover of spread-winged police car doors.
"John Doerr sent you up here to murder us,"
the younger cop, Sanders the younger, said. He had crazy eyes that jumped between Noon and the others, and he kept licking his lips. His skin was bad, mottled and peeling and too pink. Noon had no idea what the cop was talking about, so he kept his mouth shut. He risked a glance at the stuck Mercedes a dozen feet away and buried up to its fenders in mud. No escape there.
"You're lucky to get away," Sanders the younger continued. "You probably had yourself a big powwow party about it, huh? All those people you killed? Women? Kids?"
His big partner, he really was a great, solemn lummox of a man, said nothing, but his lip curled down in a contemptful grimace at the mention of women and children, and he coolly lowered his head over his rifle and peered down the sights. Noon could see himself in the cop's sunglasses, a dull-colored blur, arms bent and raised like a weathered saguaro cactus. The young cop said something else. Noon just shrugged. He didn't know any John Doerr, and he told them so, but they didn't seem to believe him. He'd thrown down his pistol when they rolled up, and Jake and Sadie had left their guns in the car. So here they were, on the shoulder of a desolate highway, at the mercy of a couple of police officers, one of whom had the same raw and unsteady delivery of a crank junkie Noon had once known. Sanders the elder said something under his breath. His young partner said something back and then uttered a terse ha-ha of a laugh. Noon tried to recall the last time he'd had a brush with the law. He thought it was probably 2 years ago, the time he'd driven a rust-bucket minivan nose-first into the Gallatin River. Bozeman P.D. had breathalyzed him, but Noon had been sober as a Sunday preacher. He told him the brakes had quit. But the truth of the matter was that he just hadn't wanted the old van anymore and thought he could maybe claim it stolen on the insurance. He'd been charged with illegal dumping, and they'd sent him a bill for the wrecker service which dragged the van back out of the water. Noon had never paid it. Jake, who was an ex-con, ought to be an expert on legal entanglements, but the dwarf was just staring at the two cops. His red beard bristled and his brow was sweaty. His mouth worked, but nothing came out. Noon threw him a disgusted look. For all his usual swagger, Jake looked apt to wet himself. Past Jake were the two kids, who stood side by side, looking mildly confused. The boy, whom Noon called Dog, looked sleepy, and his sister had a misty little grin on her face, like the adults were putting on a well-intentioned but rather tepid game of play-acting. Sadie, his wife, stood behind the children, her wide, glassy eyes set on the disabled Mercedes. They'd exhausted most of their booze this morning, and her mind always turned to molasses without any liquor to grease the rusty old cogs in her head. Noon looked back at the cops. Young Sanders had said something else. Noon grunted, and the cop gave him a crooked, smirky frown.
"All that for some supplies?" the cop repeated, irritated. "That's what Mr. Winthrop said. Is that right? You and that John Doerr, you were after liquor?"
Old Sanders cocked his head slightly, still peering down the gun sights, apparently curious himself.
"I don't know anyone named Winthrop."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?